This is episode 139 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Welcome back to another fantastic week here at Drunk on Comics, and we have a little surprise here for you. Kevin and Matt are still both out with family stuff, and Tony decided that his liver couldn't make it another year without experiencing Mardi Gras firsthand, so he traveled down south. So if any of you guys see somebody down there that you think you might recognize, yeah, go poke him with a stick. This is Derek, and with me once again, as you're definitely part of the family. You're almost becoming like kind of the go-to fill-in host now. We've got Mr. J.M. Clark here from An Elegant Weapon. What's going on, brother?
Not much. I like to consider myself the fifth Beatle.
I think now at this point, you've been on our show almost as much as Dirk Manning.
It's hard to keep track. I gave up keeping track for sure.
Yeah, well, I stopped keeping track of how much Dirk was on our show because you can't count the number of times, which is why it became Dirk on Comics, which, you know, that's a story for another day. But so, Jay, before we get too far into the normal thing, for our new listeners, tell people a little bit about your show and where they can find you and all that fun shit.
Okay, I have a show of my own. It's called An Elegant Weapon. Basically, it's kind of the ulterior universe version of this show, whereas you guys like to drink beer and enjoy comic books, I like to get high and talk about Star Wars. So it's pretty much the meta flip side of the coin, you know what I mean? You can find it at www.anelegantweapon.ca. The CA stands for Canada, bitches. And come on by, check things out. These guys, Derek, is kind enough. You're kind enough to pop by and fill the guest host seat once in a while yourself.
Oh, it's always fun. You keep me on my toes.
Yeah, it's a little more free form than around here, but, you know, it makes for an adventure. But both our shows very recently came to yet another kind of head point where we both in the same week had Dirk Manning episodes.
Yeah. And I just downloaded yours, so I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Dirk's always fun.
Oh, it's a great time. And I'd just like to say quickly, congratulations, because his dream came true last night and his Kickstarter reached 13,000 on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah. So, before we truly get things kicked off, because I was starting to think about it, you know, we're going to jump into off the shelf here and talk about some books that came out this week. But off the shelf is brought to us and everyone by Motor City Comic Con, which, have you seen some of the freaking announcements they put out?
Yeah, it's a really exciting year. It's I can't even handle some of them.
The Robert Englund one, like, just blew me away. And, like, I actually sent Motor City a note saying, what are you guys doing to me? You're killing me because I'm going to end up spending money in Media Row. Like, yeah. I don't spend money in Media Row. That's not why I go to Comic-Cons. Like, I think it's neat, you know, but fucking, you've got Robert Englund, a.k.a. Freddy Krueger. You've got Ralph Macchio. You've got four people now from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, there's a lot coming from the dead, which is super cool. And Freddy's it for me, though, man. Freddy Krueger was it as a kid. Like, I can't get over that one.
Yeah, well, and they just announced Robert Patrick.
Oh, no way! Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, God. I think they did that this morning. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, so, I mean, now you got a Terminator / X-Files guy there, you know, too. It's just blows me away the people that they're bringing in this year from the media side. And they just announced Mike Mayhew on the comic book side, and he was doing a Star Wars book here not too long ago.
Okay.
Or he is going to be doing a Star Wars book. I don't remember which one it was, honestly. I apologize. I just, and actually I had to look and make sure it wasn't one of the books that came out this week. So yeah, you'll have a chance to talk to another Star Wars guy.
That is there. always an exciting thing. Yeah, last year I got to speak with Joe Caroni, which was super cool. And
yep.
Mark McKenna, of course, has done his fair share of the Star Wars. It sounds like there's more guests in general as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they just keep announcing. So anybody that wants to check them out, go to MotorCityComicCon.com. It's happening May 16th through the 18th, I believe. I could be off by a day or so on that.
Enough.
Yeah, it's that weekend in beautiful Novi, Michigan, at the Suburban Collection Showplace. And I'm actually pretty happy because so far I haven't screwed up and called it the showcase showdown yet this year. But all right, man, let's get things kicked off with off the shelf. You want to start it out or you want me to?
You go right ahead.
All right. So this week, this book that I want to talk about has been my my angry obsession recently, and it's Thor number 5, and I actually got the variant cover by Phil Noto.
Oh,
which
that's
is
nice. That's very nice.
Isn't that a gorgeous cover?
That's super cool.
Noto is just fucking great. Basically, the cover, you got Lady Sif, you know, on there looking at the new Thor, the female woman lady person here that no one knows who she is. And you've got Lady Sif kind of like cocking her head with her hand on her jaw going, who the fuck are you? That's why this is my angry obsession. This book, it's 5 issues in. They still haven't fucking told me who Thor is. But credit where credit is due here. Jason Aaron is writing this book, and apparently I just realized it's going to be a Jason Aaron episode for me. Jorge Molina is the guest artist. It has been Russell Dauterman, who's been just killing it on this book. But Jorge Molina stepped in on this one. And for people that haven't heard or read, basically a while back, Nick Fury whispered something in Thor's ear, and Thor was no longer able to pick up Mjolnir, his awesome hammer. And this woman, who we don't know who it is, came along, and she was able to pick it up and wield the hammer, and she is now Thor. And it's an interesting thing because everybody thinks of Thor, a.k.a. like the Chris Hemsworth-type Thor. And in this book, he won't even allow people to refer to him as Thor anymore, which I think is interesting because he is no longer Thor. This woman is Thor. I like the fact that they didn't bother changing her name. She's not like she Thor. She's not Thorina, you know, yeah, or any of that. And the reason that I really enjoyed this particular issue is at the beginning, she's fighting a couple, you know, just kind of D-list villains in the middle of Manhattan, and it's oh crap, I can't remember the name of these guys. The Crusher Creel is the one guy, and then his girlfriend, I guess, if you will, and I, you know, can't remember her name terribly off the top of my head. But it's interesting because after she beats the shit out of this dude with a wrecking ball, you know, the new Thor, the other woman comes up and she goes, you know what? She goes, I'm just going to surrender to you because I'm glad as a woman that you're standing up and being a woman doing this too. Even though we're on the opposite side, she's like, I'm going to give you this one. You get one and one only. She goes, next time I'm going to tear your head off. And the new Thor is like, next time I'm going to rip you a new one. But
girl power, sister.
It was, and it was just, you know, it was fun because she actually says in here, like, in beautiful words by Aaron, where she's like, wow, and she's not called She-Thor or Lady Thunderstrike or something like that.
That's awesome, Lady Thunderstrike.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, and who knows how many of these names just popped up in regular conversation or how many of these he saw on the internet. But this has been a great story, and this is actually a fun one too, where you can actually you can jump in on this book, especially considering they haven't fucking told you who she is. You don't need to know everything, and they've done a wonderful job just on the one issue here where they're filling in backstory and giving new readers like myself, because I'm not a regular Thor reader. And I have you and I talked about my problem with Thor?
Well, I don't know if you and I have talked about it, but it's well documented that you're not a fan of the prose.
It's the font.
Yeah.
one of the guys at my shop coined the phrase Thorvetica. I love it. And it's hard for me to read that sometimes. And I think the fact that Jason Aaron has kept me hooked for five issues so far, even though I cannot stand this font, says quite a bit about it. So overall, you're not going to know who Thor is at the end of this, but you start seeing Odin trying to figure it out. He's pissed off. You're going to find Freya, Thor's mother, having a little interaction there. Thor's trying to figure out who she is. The great thing in this one is Thor actually has a little list that he's crossing names off of who it might be. You know, as he's trying to figure out, because Thor wants to know who it is too.
What does he want to be called himself? What is he making people call him if they're not calling him Thor?
They aren't calling him anything.
Okay.
It's just like, hey, buddy, what's going on, chap?
Okay.
it's one of these things like he and Lady Sif have a really good conversation in here. There's a lot going on in this issue, which I think really dives into a lot of the character development, which and opens my eyes up to a lot of who these people are and their past and what their potential futures are. So I loved it. Now, as for the artwork, like I said, Russell Dowderman has been just doing an amazing job on this. But Jorge Molina, holy shit, was he good on this issue. I mean, just some of the nicest artwork for a superhero book I've seen in a long time. And the fight scenes in particular, this dude knows how to use speed lines to his advantage. And like, I'm going to kind of show you one of these pages. I don't know if you can
see it. Oh, yeah, that looks great, yeah.
But, you know, the fact that he...
I love her helmet.
Yeah. Like, and he doesn't overdo it, but in the action sequences and where it's appropriate to draw a lot of attention, he'll have the characters bleeding outside the boundaries of an individual panel and into other panels, which I really, really like that aspect on this book. Like I said, he doesn't overdo it, but it's there. And it's, you know, maybe every other page, but it works so well on there when it's just it's small things, it's important things. And even on some of the more somber notes where he's talking to, like, Lady Sif, and you see, you know, her profile is bleeding into the panel above. Yeah,
it looks beautiful. You know? It does.
Yeah. So, gorgeous book all around, fun book, and I'm still pissed that I don't know who the fuck it is, but, you know.
I'm glad they're drawing it out a bit, you know, they're making you earn it.
Oh, yeah, and they're earning my money, little bastards, but one of the fun things, because I don't read a whole lot of Marvel anymore, is... in this book, and I know that this is going to make a number of people happy, because the Matt Fraction, David Aja Hawkeye is, you know, coming to a conclusion. There's an ad in here for the new Hawkeye, all new Hawkeye number one, which is going to be going on sale in March, and it's going to be from Jeff Lemire and Ramon Perez.
I saw the ad for that. It looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my book for off the shelf. What do you got there, Jay?
I have some fun stuff that's been going on. Justice League, number 38.
Oh, shoot. I actually read a Justice League book this week. I was hoping you were going to talk about it.
Well, did you read number 38?
No. I read Inside the NBA TNT Justice League.
I didn't even know that existed. What is that?
It's a free comic where it's written by Brian Buccioletto, who was he was writing The Flash for a long time. An artist on this is Benny Lobel, and you've got in this Ernie Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Charles Barkley are going to be in a relay race.
What?
And they get to team up with, each one of them teams up with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Flash. And they have to go from the Barclays Center to Madison Square Garden.
That's fantastic.
And the first one to get there wins. It's such cheese ball shit. But yeah, I thought you'd be happy to know that I read a DC book this week.
When did that just come out?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it's just silly, stupid stuff, you know, where they're all racing across New York, but they all have to stop and save somebody.
Of course.
And then
they
magically all get there at the same time, and they say, "We win."
That's good old like 1980s propaganda right there. That's that is, man.
It's fucking terrible. But anyway,
that's like Mr. T on the Chipmunks type shit. All right, yes, Justice League number 38. There's a really fun storyline going on in Justice League these days. This issue in particular is written by Geoff Johns. It is drawn by Jason Fabok, who's just been killing it all over the DC universe. It's been a storyline going on basically where they're at that phase in the reboot where they're retelling the whole story of Lex Luthor wanting to become a member of the Justice League. So there's been a lot of, you know, is he or isn't he type stuff, and do we trust him, of course, because it's Lex Luthor. So it's been this drama going on. Now, inadvertently, through a series of, you know, actions, a virus, which is kind of the new version of the whole Amazo thing, and it's called the Amazo virus, and Lex Luthor had developed this, and through some unfortunate circumstances in prior issues, this virus gets loose. It's an airborne.
This storyline's been running for a while, hasn't it?
It's been a few issues, yeah. Well, the storyline of Lex Luthor has been a good chunk of issues, definitely. But it's just gotten to the point in the past few issues where this Amazo virus is actually taking effect. Now, what this virus does is to humans, it gives you meta powers for a certain amount of time and then kills you and just rips your body apart. And for superheroes, it actually takes away their powers and does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what happens when the human, like stage one, you get powers. Stage two, you actually go like enraged. So basically what they're doing is they're using this to kind of do DC's version of Marvel Zombies. And they're doing basically a Justice League Zombies type story. So they're not outright zombies. But they've all been infected to the point where they're acting like zombies and they just want to infect more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's been a really cool story because what's happened is Superman and Wonder Woman are immune because they're aliens. This only affects humans and metahumans. You have to be of like human origin, right?
Okay.
So Superman and Wonder Woman, they've been fine because she's a god and he's an alien, and Batman was fine until this issue because Batman is Batman and he just had his suit and he's badass and everything. So while the whole fucking world's falling apart, these three are trying to find Patient Zero so Lex can kind of use his blood to make an antivirus out of. And in this, at the end of last issue, issue 37, Batman's mask gets broken. So in this issue, we actually get to see Batman go zombie.
Well, yeah, but Batman gets powered up then, too.
He does get powered up. And what they're thinking now is the power you get is a result of a subconscious psychokinetic thing. So it's not completely random. So what Batman develops is this power of, like, it's like a power sonar. So he can, like, send out power sonar blasts like a bat, kind of. You know what I mean?
I would think that he would want the power to heal. So if, like, you know, if he was with somebody at the movies and they got shot, he could fix.
Oh,
wait.
Yikes. Tsunami. It's because it's like, it's not a conscious choice. Like, it's just like whatever's rattling around in the back of your head subconsciously will, you know, kind of result in what power you get. So yeah. since he thinks he's Batman, he gets these bat powers, and he just fucking, it's kind of like this crazy echolocation blast thing that Batman now has. But
Dude, you know what though? This is coming full circle, because if he's getting basically echo sonar location, he now has Daredevil's powers. Ben Affleck, who played Daredevil, is now playing Batman. That's how all this shit ties together.
Very nice. Very nice. Because he is blind. He goes blind. He can't see anymore.
Yeah.
And his only power is like this massive like echolocation. So you're totally, you totally nailed that. That's absolutely right, man. So basically, as it says here, although they develop powers for a brief period of time, death is a certainty. So now what they've got to figure out some more stuff, because this patient zero turns out to be kind of a dud. I don't want to spoil the book too much because it's been just really fun. And that's one thing I have always loved DC for, is when they have fun, they have a lot of fun. And, you know, Geoff Johns, so the writing is right up there. And Fabok is just he's one of those guys who it's fun to watch because he's getting better and better. You know, and from when I saw him take over, when he was doing The Dark Knight, when the New 52 first started, to what he's doing in this book, there's a noticeable improvement. You know what I mean?
Did you look through any of his pages when we were at Fan Expo?
Not that I'm sure I did, but none are coming to mind, you know?
Oh my God. I was just blown away by his original art. His artwork is gorgeous when it's colored, but I don't, and he's one of those artists where I think I would rather see his stuff in black and white than see it colored.
I got you.
Because he is, and I don't even want gray wash on his stuff, because his lines are so fucking good.
Yeah, they're tight.
Yeah, I mean, the color adds a lot more emotion, but he's fantastic. So anyway, sorry about that.
Cool. What's fun about it is we're getting to see him take these heroes that he's been drawing, like Superman and Batman, that he's been killing, and just zombifying them. So, you know, he's getting to have a little fun, and you can tell they're having fun. Like a lot of these, like just straight up one panel shots, you know. Like, I think I can show you at least. I know it's very difficult for the people to see. But this is the very last page right there where Batman and the rest of them are all kind of like fully zombied out at this point. And they're like, all right, now we're going to kill the rest of you.
Well, and it's great because Aquaman looks like a dead fish that washed up on the beach.
Yeah, so that's my off the shelf. I'm loving Justice League these days, and it went through a lull there for a bit, but it's starting to pick back up now. So, I definitely recommend it.
I guess here's my question for you, and I think maybe this is one of the reasons why I kind of got I had to get away from a lot of my big two type books. Does it bother you knowing that they'll never kill off these characters, that they're never in any real threat?
Yeah, but you could say that about the entire comic book universe, right?
Not true.
Like a lot of these characters in the Justice League, a lot of Justice League members have died, and it was only through like the whole Brightest Day thing and Blackest Night that they even came back. So, I mean, right, Hawkman was dead, Aquaman was dead for quite a long time, Green Lantern.
Well, and I guess the thing is that unless you're Uncle Ben, you're never really dead in comic books.
Exactly. Like,
at least in the mainstream books. Now you get into books like Saga, and you know other independent books, or The Walking Dead, and they'll fucking kill people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they're dead and they're gone.
Yeah, it's more of a real life situation. They don't go as kind of supernatural, but Justice League, it's been interesting because it's been fun with the mix-ups, the way they've got all the different leagues going on, like Justice League United, and they had the Justice League Dark, and there was the whole, you know, conflict between all of the Justice Leagues. And I don't know, there's something about how endearing the Justice League is to me, or sorry, how enduring more, I should say, like the fact that they are this solid piece that they're almost like one super, I almost look at them as one superhero, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me too much, but I see how for some people maybe it could get stale.
All right. Well, that's a topic, I suppose, for another day. Where I think this is going to be a good conversation over multiple beers at Motor City.
Absolutely.
When you're down visiting. So, all right, guys, that was Off the Shelf once again, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, and let's get into some news. And actually, I didn't warn you about this one, so I'm just going to ask. But it's only because we were just talking about The Walking Dead. Uh-oh. All right, have you watched the new episode?
Yes.
Okay. Are you reading the comic as well?
I usually am, but I'm behind. But okay. I've read up to where in the comic book the show is.
Okay. So you are you familiar with who Negan is?
Oh yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with and I'm not going to spoil anything. Are you familiar with his interaction with Glenn?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you notice in the show Glenn picking up the baseball bat and
oh,
how that
yeah.
might be a little foreshadowing of Negan coming?
Absolutely. I don't believe you watch Talking Dead, do you?
No.
Okay, they did do a whole conversation about this, actually.
And oh, did they?
Yeah, that was completely intentional. That bat and him picking up the bat and the foreshadowing, and you're absolutely right. That was Greg Nicotero, the showrunner, was actually on the episode. He was like, oh yeah, that's absolute foreshadowing. Or is it? It was, you know yeah. what I mean? It was, we don't know if the events are going to unfold the same way, but that was well, yeah, absolutely, you were meant to notice that Glenn picked up a bat.
yeah. And I can't say anything more because I know that there are people like my girlfriend who have not read the comic and they don't want to know about certain things coming up.
I hope it doesn't. I hope that is, because there have been things in the past on the show that they have deemed too much for TV and they've changed. And I think that would be too much for TV. So we'll see.
You mean like what happened to Rick's wife and baby?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, but all right. So moving on, we've got some other news here this week. And I think the one that probably needs to come to the forefront is what's going on with DC Comics. They're basically they're bringing in 24 new books this year, and they're going to keep 25 other books. But after the Convergence, there's going to be kind of a little hiatus after Convergence. They're going to basically rebrand. They're getting rid of the New 52, and I think it's just going to go back to DC. Like, I don't know what their logo is going to be, but they're getting rid of the New 52. It's not a reboot. It's not anything more than, you know, than that. But it's kind of cool to see that they're actually doing something a little bit different, because you can only be the new something for so long. Kind of like,
exactly. It was inevitable. And
it's like rappers, you know, you can only be Lil something for so long before that shit gets played out.
Yeah.
So, Jay, what else popped out there in the news this week that you saw that
something that... really interesting to me. Now, before I go into this news item, I think I am going to do something quickly personal that actually relates it back to comic books, because what this story about is that reportedly Dave Bautista is to appear in the Highlander reboot.
Yes.
Now, some people may say the only thing to do with comics about that is that Dave Bautista was a Guardian of the Galaxy. But I would like to point out that I do, in fact, in my comic collection, have the issue of Highlander number one signed by my friend Lee Motor, artist on that issue.
Nice.
So there we go. But I've been here. I'm a huge Highlander fan. Just a really big Highlander fan. It's kind of my guilty pleasure. I own the entire show. I own the whole series on DVD, all the movies. I'm a big Highlander fan.
Does that have anything to do with your Scottish heritage?
A little bit. I'm sure that's what attracts me to it. But it's just the story and the idea of the immortals alone is just enough. Is it amazing that the main hero of the story is a Highlander, is a Scotsman? Of course. Like, come on. But I've been hearing on and off rumors about this Highlander reboot for years. I mean, at one point, Ryan Reynolds was attached, you know.
What hasn't Ryan Reynolds been, quote unquote, attached?
Pretty much.
Including Scarlett Johansson, that filthy bastard.
Damn. He just had a baby though, so congratulations to the man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think he really did that much.
And they didn't give it an absolutely ridiculous name. They had a baby girl and they named it James. So, you know, yeah, you're gender bending there, which is great and fine, but yes, at least they didn't name it after some sort of inanimate object.
Well, you know, I have female friends that, and actually I had a female friend named Jamie for a long time and I always called her James. So
yeah, totally.
That's okay. Yeah,
I can see that. So anyways, back to the story here. Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about this for years, and this is the first rumor that just popped up out of nowhere because I haven't heard anything going on in a while. But apparently Dave Bautista will be playing the Kurgan. Anybody not familiar with the original Highlander, the Kurgan is the main villain of the movie. He's kind of a big, giant, barbarian warrior, and originally played by Clancy Brown, who currently is on Flash and doing an awesome job as a Flash villain. But
was also on Lost and
Shawshank Redemption. Most people would know him as the main guard in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
He's also the voice of Lex Luthor for all the years of the Batman animated series and the TV.
No shit. I didn't realize Superman. That.
Oh, he's a huge voice actor. He's the voice of, is it Mr. Crab on SpongeBob?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, the piratey one, the voice, whichever one that. But yeah, he's a big voice actor, big actor in general, really talented guy. So he was an amazing Kurgan. But I could see Bautista stepping in there and barbarian it up, you know. And all of a sudden, I realized the movie apparently has a director. It's Cedric Nicholas Troyan. He directed Snow White and the Huntsman.
Okay.
So I haven't seen that, so I can't really comment. But I'm happy to see it's happening. Apparently, you know, it's still on tap. Because I'd hate to see it go away. I think it's one of those ones that actually does deserve a reboot. I think it's a movie that was made before its time. Like, it's awesome and cheesy because of its time, but I think the story itself is a timeless story that can be told at any point. And I think it is a movie that really could deserve a really epic, sweeping, you know, take on the whole story. So I would love to see that.
Well, and that's a great one too, where that's the kind of movie where sequels are appreciated because you can really work with that, you know, especially showing that going on and on throughout time. But
yeah.
Other awesome movie news, Marvel Studios and Sony finally came to an agreement to basically allow each other to use their characters. They can borrow, if you will.
They made nice.
Yeah. So Spider-Man now will be able to appear in upcoming Marvel movies, which pretty much everybody's speculating that it's going to be Civil War when Spider-Man will show up. Well, the Captain America Civil War.
It makes for a much easier time of telling that story than having to come up with a way to do it without Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Because, that was the original plan,
you know,
right?
This is a great thing. If they came to an agreement, I believe so, but I'm just hoping now that Sony and Marvel have figured out a way to play, maybe Fox and Marvel can play? Maybe?
I've been thinking,
I don't know. What do you think, Jay? Did I lose you here?
I've been thinking about that, but it almost seems like there's something more personal between them. You know, there almost seems like, I don't know, somebody stepped on toes or something, because that just seems like such a heated hate for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but
I feel like some suit pissed off another suit, and now they're holding the grudge because, I mean, there's no reason. Like, now Fox is going to watch this epic coming together happen. They're going to watch them earn $1 trillion for doing it and just be left with kind of so-so X-Men movies and Fantastic Four movies that nobody trusts, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm worried about that one, but
I'm worried about Deadpool. I mean, everything about Deadpool looks like it's falling into place perfectly. Great casting, great director. They're going to let them do it their way. It's not the budget they wanted, but whatever. They're going to try and make it work. And sometimes necessity is the mother of invention. So,
If they could get an R rating, though, that would be fantastic.
It just bothers me that it's a Fox-stabled movie, you know? Because apparently they're already talking about putting X-Men in it. Like the guy who played Colossus, Daniel Cudmore, he might reprise his role as Colossus. I thought that'd make it stand apart, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You know, I tell you what, though, just casting for Colossus was great. I mean, that dude fucking looked exactly like Colossus should look like, but
yeah.
Anyway. A couple other news items here. Scribd, which if you have to look it up, it's Scribd, kind of like an online reading app, basically, their ebook service, added comic books from like Marvel and IDW and some other people. And basically the easiest way to explain what Scribd is, it's kind of like Netflix for books. It's $8.99 a month, and they have regular books and audiobooks available on there. Yeah, and so that they're adding like more than 10,000 different comics and graphic novels right now. So you've got Marvel, Archie, Boom Studios, Dynamite, IDW, Top Shelf, and Valiant all coming there. So I think if this works, I would expect to see, you know, Image and DC and other companies as well jumping over there. So I might actually do this. I'm going to go look and see what's on there, because that's a great way to, you know, for people like me where I buy a lot of books every week, but I don't necessarily want to buy them and keep all of them. You know, there are certain ones that I will always, always have to have a, you know, the physical copy, but some of them I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to try this book. I want to try that book for $9. I mean, that's the cost of like three comics.
I think it's a brilliant idea. It's like Comixology, but Netflix styles. Like, I think that's fantastic. Like,
yeah. Couple other little things here too. The Furbies have come out with a Chewbacca Furby. which is Furbacca. Furbacca. And they're going to be $75. They're coming out in the fall, so it'll be around for Christmas, but yeah, and it's also the one article that I saw was on comicbook.com. They just had a beautiful line that I have to credit, because they said now fans will have the perfect cosplay date to accompany them to the Star Wars The Force Awakens in December. So yeah, good little write up there. They're funny looking, and while Furbies creep me out, this is actually pretty fucking good. And I guess really the only other there's two other things that I kind of wanted to pop on just because you're here. One was a gentleman over in the UK. He was from Cardiff. He had fought the gentleman. His name was Gordon Deacon, and he lost his fight with cancer and died at the age of 58. And I just thought it was a really awesome thing that he was a massive Star Wars fan, and he had a stormtrooper. What would you call it, Jay? Not a parade, but
like a funeral procession, I guess.
Yes, procession. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he had stormtroopers in the funeral procession. And I just think that's really cool. You know, and they, like, the family asked people to either wear Star Wars costumes or the color red, because he was a big fan of the Liverpool Football Club as well.
Right.
And so I just thought it was really cool. I like when people that are fans like us, that even after they're gone, that their passion for something like that can still be shared with other people. So I think that's why I wanted to bring it up the most.
It's a really cool thing that something cool within the Star Wars community, and especially within those communities of like the 501st Legion themselves and the Mercs and everything, is the amount you think they spend most of their time dedicated to building these amazing screen accurate costumes and stuff, but they spend 10 times as much time doing charity, you know, just donating their time to absolute nonprofit causes, whether it's the tiniest event or whether it's someone's funeral. They're just always willing to be there to help touch that part of someone's life. If Star Wars touched part of their life, they are always willing to embody that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So absolutely. I'm not surprised at all. I think it's a beautiful thing. And cheers to that whole organization, whoever pulled that one off.
Yeah, absolutely. So last two bits of news are tied together. Todd McFarlane has stepped away from Spawn, which we kind of talked about last week on the show. And he's writing a new comic for Image called Savior. And it's going to be with co-written by Brian Holguin. Sorry, I can never say his last name.
Holguin.
And it's going to be, what's that?
Holguin.
Holguin? Is that it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I say things funny. Remember? I thought it was McFarlane.
Yeah, McFarlane. Yeah. Well, we're in the McNear lane. It's going to be drawn by Clayton Crane, who I first started really appreciating his work when he was doing the X-Force comic here. And anyway, it sounds like a neat idea. Basically, the guy has superpowers and he's trying to do good, but he does it in such dramatic fashion that people are a little creeped out and concerned on there. So I'm curious to see. You know, like people don't really know what his intentions are, but curious to see how that book will come out. But then there was also revealed this week, and it was on comicbook.com where I saw this one again, was back in 1994, so 20 years ago, there was going to be another Spawn and Batman crossover.
Yeah, that's cool, eh?
And this was it was going to be written by Frank Miller and also Todd McFarlane, and then it was going to be drawn by Greg Capullo way before he ever even stepped, you know, came close to doing the Batman stuff. And they released the cover that Capullo and McFarlane did, and holy shit, that's awesome. So if you guys want to take a look at that,
yeah. It's really it's a cool cover, but it's also interesting to see the difference in his take on Batman then to his Batman now, because there's subtle differences, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I'm going to try and post that picture up with our podcast here this week, so you guys can take a peek at that. But I think that's gonna have to wrap it up for us for the news here. So, all right, on to Indie Turnpike this week. I've got Southern Bastards number 7 from Image Comics, and when I was talking about Thor earlier and said it's going to be Jason Aaron week, it's because Jason Aaron is also writing Southern Bastards, and I really didn't even realize that when I was picking these books out this week. These were just the two that really, you know, popped off that I thought needed to be brought to light. Jason Latour is doing the artwork on this book, and if people haven't read this book, this is the least violent out of every issue so far, where like no one's getting their brains completely bashed in, no one's getting shot or stabbed or like just beat to fuck. But this is the last few issues have been about Coach Boss as a young teenager in high school wanting to play football, wanting to be great at football, wanting to succeed. And The book takes place in Alabama. These two guys are both from the South. Latour and Aaron both are. And while I've visited places in the South, I've never visited like the rural South. But I did grow up in a small community that I understand a lot of where this is coming from. You get that small town, sometimes small-minded view. In here, it's this is a fantastic story overall, and the artwork is really worth noting just because the color palettes alone that are being used in here are really quite impressive, because there's only a few different colors that he's using. Basically, and Jay, I'll kind of hold it up here so you can kind of see a little bit. But it's a lot of browns and red.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And it's pretty much, that's all he does.
Is grays, warms, and reds and oranges, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some gray wash, a little different shades of brown and red. And that's kind of been the whole series. So overall, I mean, I can't talk much about this story, because doing so will give too much away about what has already happened and I think what is going to happen. What I can say is this would be a tough issue to jump in on, but I think if you can't find the first six issues, fuck it, just go jump in on this book now, because this is one of those stories that they don't pull punches in this one. We were talking about earlier about superheroes that can't die, and even if they do, you know, they're going to come back. This book at the end of issue 4, I think it was, killed, major spoiler here, and I will give this one away, killed what I thought was the main character of the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, no, he can't be dead. And then you get the next one. No, he's fucking dead. Wow. Yeah, he's dead, dead. Yeah.
The scream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it just blows you away. So you're like, so now it's kind of the book Coach Boss as a young guy. Coach is the villain in this book. And so now you're actually following his backstory. So it's like, who the fuck is the main character in this? It's beautifully written, beautifully drawn. Go grab Southern Bastards, guys. That's my recommendation.
Very cool.
All right. Booze in a Book and contest time. So Booze in a Book and the contest are brought to you guys by inkwhiskey.com, makers of the retro NES flasks. And Jay, I think you've got at least one of them, don't you?
Booze in a Book?
No, a flask.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, I do have a flask. Which one do I have? I have Drunk Hunt.
Yo, you have the Drunk Hunt.
I have Drunk Hunt, yes.
Yep. Well, we've got Drunk Hunt, Castle Vodka, Super Bar Hop Bros, Legend of Drink, and Metal Beer. Those are the ones that
I've heard that one yet. Metal Beer?
Yeah, those are the five that we have available, and the winner of this contest will be getting two. They can, you know, they'll get one, they'll get two different titles, and they're going to get them free of charge. We've asked a question for the last four episodes, and we've gotten lots of submissions and lots of answers. Most of the people have been able to get the answers right. There have been a few wrong ones, but now this week's question is, what do the answers to the last four questions, what is the thing that ties them together? What do they have in common? So shoot us your answer at drunkoncomics@gmail.com. Please put your address and whether or not you follow us on Twitter.
So that's my contest game show music background for you.
Kevin's gonna be disappointed he wasn't here for that, because Kevin loves game shows.
Let me ask you something quick. What were the two issues that Jason Aaron did that you were mentioning?
Thor and Southern Bastards.
Which is crazy. What a week for him, because what I was gonna do for Off the Shelf as well, I didn't get to it, but was Star Wars number 2, written by Jason Aaron.
Wow, yeah.
And let me just quickly say that I absolutely loved the story. It was super, super Star Wars. It was really, really cool. Look at Vader, and the art still sucks.
You don't like John Cassaday on art?
I'm not enjoying the art at all. There's some really cool panels. Like, I like some of his, like, compositions, but overall, his action shots are just leaving a bit to be desired for me.
Well, then what I would suggest is that you pick up Darth Vader, number one, and I got the action figure variant.
I got the straight up, but I read it as well, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is, for Booze in a Book, this is written by Kieran Gillen. Art is by Salvador LaRocca. Colors by Edgar Delgado. And our good buddy Joe Caramagna on letters. I'm pairing this with a good old, and I've used this one before, but Hams beer. Hams is only available in 30 packs, and or which is six more than your 2.4s.
That's right.
That messed me up on, which is apparently is a fucking Canadian case. Yeah. Only available in 30 packs, and it runs about $12 to $13 for a 30 pack.
Oh my God! What?
Yes, it's amazing.
I don't know if that's amazing, dude.
This is lawnmower beer. We talked about lawnmower beers the other night.
Goodness.
The reason that I'm pairing these together is that the comic and this beer both remind me of when I was 5 years old.
Nice.
Because Hams is what my dad always drank. I grew up as a Star Wars kid from like very early on. And when I was like 5 or 6, my dad was working out in the backyard, and he used to occasionally let me have a little sip of his beer, you know, back before people would get arrested for shit like that. And I'd get a little sip here and there, and I always liked beer. And he set his beer down, and we're working on like the back deck, and he does some stuff, and he goes back and looks for his beer, and he's like, where's my beer? And he looks over at me, little 5-6-year-old kid, and I've got the can tipped completely up over, and I put it down, and I go, I chugged a beer. I slammed like an entire beer at like the age of 5, and it was Hams. And so when I first picked this up, I cracked it open, and I was talking to my dad on the phone at the time. He goes, so how is it? And I go, it tastes like I'm 5 again. And this new Star Wars Darth Vader comic gives me the feeling like I'm 5 years old again, because it's touching on all those little memories, but at the same time, I'm appreciating things being new again with this old character. And that's why I wanted to put these two together this week. So
yeah,
you go.
It was a nice book, man. It was nice to see. It was the most I think I've ever seen them really explore the relationship between Vader and the Emperor.
Yeah.
You know, it was really cool to have that. So they're doing cool stuff. It's weird. I wanted to mention this too, because I this is what I really felt like reading the Star Wars number 2 as well as the Darth Vader was. It's very Star Wars. It feels very Star Wars, but there's new stuff in there. And it's very strange to have to forget. Like, as you read about new stuff, it reminds you of the old stuff you have to forget about.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they're talking about a certain area or a certain planet that is, you know, in the new universe, it's where this takes place. But that reminds you of, no, that happened a different way before. But I have to forget about that because it's all new. It's a confusing process, but it's enjoyable, you know?
Well, and I don't have that problem because all I've done is watch the movies. So,
right. You know, that's one thing. That's why I think it's also hard, because I have years of incredible Dark Horse art. You know, like some of those comics are like paintings, you know what I mean? Like there's been some incredible stuff done. And I don't know. Maybe it'll pick up with Star Wars, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Jay, did you have any other books you wanted to give a shout-out to for Last Call?
Yes, I'd like to give a shout-out to a book called Terraquil. And what it is it's a local Toronto artist. His name is Sean Daly, and he currently has a Kickstarter going on for what is there's 5 volumes of his book Terraquil. And Terraquil is collections of short stories into themselves, and he's taking all those and collecting it into one big giant collection. So it's called Terraquil, Terraquill. Go to Kickstarter, check it out. It's a really fun little world that he's created. And times.
And Sean's a fucking insanely talented artist too. So
very good. Very, very good. Super nice guy. Even for a Canadian, we think he's nice. So he deserves it all, you know. So
awesome. I only had a couple other books that I wanted to give a little shout out for last call. Brides of Helheim, number 4 from Oni Press, Cullen Bunn and Joel Jones on that. Deep State, issue 4 from Boom Studios, and The Walking Dead, number 137. God.
Damn, that got up there quick. It seems like 100 just came out, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you know, I mean, there was... Were they coming out weekly, or was it twice monthly there for a while with that that all-out war?
I'm not sure. I only get the trades.
Yeah, I think it was maybe every other week. Right. So, I mean, that really bumped up that bumped up the process. But, yeah, good, you know, little bit of a lighter week for me, but
That's okay, you know, that's all right. I wanted to also shout out, as well, of course, happening wonderful Motor City Comic Con next month in Toronto on March 21st, or the weekend of March 21st, is happening Toronto Comic Con, which is basically the comic-centric portion of Fan Expo. That's going to be happening that weekend, and as I just got a brand new email that was talking about the over, like, 50 comic guests, like, there's a huge amount of guests, including Michigan's own Mr. Jay Foskett of Bodie Troll. So
yeah,
it's really exciting. It's going to be cool to see Jay come up here and attend the Toronto Comic Con. So go to Toronto Comic Con downtown March 21st and meet Jay Foskett himself of Bodie Troll. Booyah.
Yeah, Jay is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Jays, I got to give a little love to our buddy Jay Shimko, who is a member of the 501st. He does his, I don't know, is it still cosplay when it's Star Wars?
What do they call it? There's different terms, but
okay. But anyway, I know he's got a Boba Fett, you know, thing. And, I gotta give him some love. I called into his show. He has a weekly internet radio show, which you can also just download as a podcast later if you don't want to listen live. But I like to listen live because I like to call in and give them shit.
Oh, cool.
And, but it's called Get Your Geek On, and you can find that on Raw Radio X. So go check those guys out and tell them we sent you. So that's pretty much everything that I think I've got. So, you know, people, send us in. This is the last week. We will announce the winner on next week's show. So basically, I'm just going to say you got to get your answers into us by midnight Eastern Standard Time on Friday. So there you go.
Good times.
All right, Jay, thank you, man. As always, it's a pleasure. Whether you're on our show or I'm on yours or whatever it is.
It's always an honor. Absolutely.
And
of course, he's talking about an elegantweapon.ca.
What? Yeah, so, all right, guys, keep reading your comic books, and we will be back next week with or without another Canadian to talk more about them then. We'll see ya.
Good night, eh?